Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is September 16th, 2024, or it is the 14th day of Tishri, 2028. We will start our first service today with continuation of Shepherd God, Volume 4. We're going to be on about part 6 of we're now in the part of the prophecy of Ezekiel 4. And we're dealing with the barley cakes as we continue on. That's our title of our sermon is The Prophecy of Ezekiel 4, Shepherd God, book number 4. We're on page 122. And our subject to start with is barley cakes. It says, the Yahweh told Ezekiel, thou shalt eat it as the barley cakes. Ezekiel 4:12. Why the wheat, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt made as barley cake? Why not as wheat cake? Cake or some of the other cereal? For the truth of the Holy Spirit was represented by the barley, as explained on page 118. For this reason, Ezekiel was told to make it into barley cake, meaning the truth came by the power of the Holy Spirit, and not by the aid of men. I will lay bands upon thee. According to Ezekiel 4:6, for we read, and behold, I will lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn thee from one side to another till thou hast ended the days of thy siege. For the prophet was to lie on his left side for 390 days. During this time he was to eat the variety of food. But why on the left side? Why not on the right? Because the symbol would not have been perfect had he lain on his right side while eating. The stomach of a man is shaped something like a crescent, with a narrow neck to the right as an outlet. If a man lies on his left side, the outlet is upward against gravity, and consequently would be difficult to empty itself, which would cause the food to remain within it. Had it not been for the bands that Yeshua put around Ezekiel, he would have turned to the right side, thus spoiling the symbol. The meaning in that, even though the great enemy tried to force out every truth, the prejudice and insinuation, and casting out of the church those who were teaching of these new truths as it has been in the early and the past, yet Yahweh saw to it that every truth would remain until he has put them into the one vessel, and so it is. Thou shalt drink also water. Thou shalt drink also water by the measure, the sixth part of a hin, from time to time shalt thou drink. Ezekiel 4:11. Water, when taken in, gives life. Without it, existence would be impossible. Now, she is speaking to the woman at the well, says, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. John 4:14. Now, she referred to water as a symbol of the everlasting life, the meaning as a symbol of the drinking of the water with the body taste is that souls were to be saved by each new truth, the spirit of life. Meat, by the way, water by the measure. Okay, meat by the weight, water by the measure, from page 123. It says Ezekiel 4:10-11, and thy meat yourself shall eat shall be by the weight. Thou shalt drink also water by the measure. For the measure and weight are symbols signifying that the Yahweh would only give truth by the measure, a little at a time. As a prophecy reads, from time to time shalt thou eat and drink. And so has the Yahweh given life a little at a time, as we can grasp it. It has come in its exact biblical order. Faith, spirit, grace, baptism, time of the end, and the Sabbath rest. For the Abraham is the father of the faithful, is a symbol of the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant. Isaiah, for the Isaiah as a symbol of the spirit of the truth, as the Bible says, he was born after the spirit. Jacob, the symbol of grace, for as he was a sinful man, had it not been for the grace of Yahweh, he would not have prevailed. For the Exodus movement is the symbol for the baptism. For we read in 1 Corinthians 10:2, and were all baptized unto Moses and the cloud and in the sea. The wilderness life is a symbol of a sanctuary question at the end of the 2300 days. It was in the wilderness that the heavenly sanctuary was described by the earthly. For the promised land is a symbol of the Sabbath rest. In the promised land, they were to rest had driven out the heathen, but because of the national pride and disbelief, they failed to obtain the promised rest. For the disobedience of the Israel in the promised land is a symbol of our failing to obey Yahweh at the present time. Explanation of Ezekiel 4:12, 14, and 15. Wonderful prophecy as it is, the saddest part now is to be told. The shepherd rod, we're in section 5, we're on page 124, for the scripture about to be quoted has perhaps never been read publicly or reproduced in any literature, but if it was never to be studied out, read in public or public, Yahweh would never have placed it in the Bible. However, it is there, no doubt, for a purpose, and must be considered. For the quotation is found in Ezekiel 4:12, 14 and 15, reads as follows, "And thou shalt bake it with dung that cometh out of man in their sight. Then said I, O Yahweh, behold, my soul hath not been polluted, for from my youth up even till now have I not eaten of that which dieth of itself or is torn in pieces. Now there came there an abominable flesh into my mouth. And he said unto me, Lo, I have given thee cow's dung for man's dung, and thou shalt prepare thy bread therewith. For the prophet was told that he could not use wood or coal to bake the cakes upon, but that he should use dung that cometh out of a man. To Ezekiel it was too repulsive, and he pleaded to be excused. Yahweh made an allowance, not by compulsion, but for Ezekiel's sake only, by telling Ezekiel to bake it with cow's dung. The 13th verse gives an explanation of the symbol as follows. And Yahweh said, Even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles. For the symbol is every portion of the truth that has come so far has been polluted, including the last one, the Sabbath, notwithstanding all the instructions given us line upon line and precept upon precept. The picture tells a story. Symbols do not lie. Instead of being offended because we are told of our failing, we should only praise Yahweh that in His mercy He has made he called for the Reformation, that we may not be left to perish in our sin, but are given an opportunity to choose whom we will serve. He said that for the questions may be asked, how have we polluted Yahweh's truth? Only one of the many references will be quoted here. Volume 1, page 471, 473. A great mistake has been made by some who profess present truth. By the introducing of the merchandise in the course of a series of meetings, ministers have stood in the desk and preached a most solemn discourse, and then by introducing merchandise and acting the part of a salesman, even in the house of Yahweh, the burden of selling our publication should not rest upon the ministers who labor in the Word and Doctrine, Volume 8, page 250. I saw our instructor, Yahshua, pointing unto the garments of the so-called righteousness. Stripping them off, he laid bare the defilement beneath. Then he said unto me, can you not see how they have pretentiously covered up their defilement and rottenness of the territory? How is a faithful city becoming harlot? My father's house has made a house of the merchandise, a place whence the divine presence and glory have departed. For this cause there is weakness and strength is lacking. Thus we have the proof that every truth thus far has been polluted, including the Sabbath. The 40 days and what transpired within. Thus far, the 390 years have been explained, and we shall now consider the 40 days or years. After Ezekiel had accomplished the 390 days, he was told to turn now to his right side and lie on it 40 days. Unlike the 390 days, he is not to eat anything but fast the entire 40 days, and during this period of time he must lie on his right side. As we have explained before, if one should lie on his left side, the stomach cannot empty itself, but now he must lie on his right side. This position would give his stomach a chance to empty itself. Naturally, if the stomach would empty and could not take other food, we would become hungry, symbol of the spiritual hunger. For this symbol is that the church has been in a spiritual decline for 40 years and has had no renewed spiritual food to feed upon. Some may say, we have the Bible and the testimony, and we feed on them. It is true, we have had them, but they have been closed to us, for we did not make a proper use of the truth we have had, and it is a fact that the Adventist Church has had no new light upon the Scriptures that were not understood 40 years ago. For the 40 years period began in 1890, according unto the chart, on pages 112 and 113, at which time the 390 years ended. the time has about elapsed, and now we must have food, or else we shall die. And Yahweh, in His mercy, has remembered His people and is sending them an invitation to draw near for another good feast. Would you, brethren, draw near for the great supper? Or will you make an excuse? Will you say, I have brought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it? I pray thee, have me excused. Or will your answer be, I have brought 5 yoke of the oxen and I go to prison? Or will it be that you have married a wife and therefore I cannot come? Remember that the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind from the highways and hedges will not hesitate. The house will be filled, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. See Luke 14:16-24. 7 perfect number. In this passage we find there are only 6 portions, and only 6 steps have been made. Luther, Knox, Wesley, Campbell, Miller, and White. The number 6 is not a perfect number. It is evident then that there is still another portion to follow and a step to climb. 7 is the perfect biblical number. Well, the question is, why was not the 7th portion included in this prophecy? Because the 6th were blue, because with the man's preparation, man's thoughts and plans have been rejected and followed, which in the Yahweh's sight are as done. It is not to be so with the 7th, for it is the last. It must be pure. The last portion, pure and undefiled, is represented by the angel of the Revelation 18:1. And after these things I saw another angel come down from the heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. It is at this time that the Isaiah's prophecy will be fulfilled. Isaiah 52:1-2. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise, and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion, Yahweh's true church. Note the last part of the first verse. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. There has always been in the church the uncircumcised, the unclean, and unconverted. In all her history, but there the prophet declares, there shall be no more. Let us give thanks to our Yahweh for this precious promise and for the revelation of his word. Zephaniah also declares, for the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies. Now this shall a deceitful time be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. In Prophets and Kings, page 725, we read, clad in the armor of the Yahshua's righteousness, the church is entered upon her final conflict. Fair as a moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. She is to go forth into all the world, conquering and to conquer. It could be explained that this brings us into the opening of the seventh seal of Revelation 8:1. The church on the seventh step under the seventh seal, and I say another word, the preposition is with the seventh seal, and in the seventh trumpet. By this we know we are on the border of the eternity with the lips of any of us utter the words, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. But how shall we attain this perfection? It will not be easy. Unless we make an effort, we shall never reach the mark. For the enemy is not leaving one string loose. He has interfered all the way, in every step, in every part of the church. And his plans are stronger now than ever before. Nevertheless, prophecy has declared that the 144,000 have not bowed a knee to Baal, and in their mouth has found no God, for they are without fault before the throne of Yahweh. At the present time, the denomination employs about 10,000 evangelical workers. 10,000 evangelical workers, but what will it be when 144,000 without dow, spot, or wrinkle, or any such thing, filled with the Spirit of Yahweh, compass the grove? Such is the beginning of the seventh step. The wonder, the prophet declared, the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no more come into thee. And I shall make her a strong nation. Micah 4:7. While the prophecy of the 430 years finds its beginning with the Reformation by the Luther and others, the lesson is for this time. And the people at this age, never before has this prophecy been understood. And until now, no one ever received much from it. But when the time is fulfilled, Yahweh makes it known. Thus has he led his people on and on. The verses not commented on will be considered now. The siege. That's our next subtitle on page 128. Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile and lay it before thee, and portray upon it the city. Now, when he says the city here, he's talking about the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Even Jerusalem. Oh. So she's the spiritual Jerusalem also, as well as the spiritual Israel of today. Ezekiel 4:1. For the Hebrew translation reads, and grave upon it a city, namely Jerusalem. The city as a symbol of the church membership, Ezekiel was told to engrave a city and call it Jerusalem. And it must be engraved upon a tile. Paper or skin would not do, for it would not be as durable as tile. If it is engraved on a tile, it cannot be erased. For the thought is that the prophecy will surely come to pass. And after it, grace becomes history and cannot erase the things portrayed. It is there to stay through all the ages. The tile mentioned here is not manufactured. It is a natural luminaire tile and quarried in the large self-separated slab which in the certain sections of that country is found in a great abundance. It is being largely or exclusively used for the roofing and flooring. Ezekiel 4:2. And lay siege against it, and build a fort against it, and cast a mount against it. Sit the camp also against it, and set battering ram against it round about. Lay siege against it, that is, invade the city of the church by an army to compel its surrender. Endeavor to obtain possession of the city, the church, and build a fort against it. A fort around a city makes it secure. So build a fort against it means to make sure that none escape. And cast a mount. The word mount in the Greek translation is rendered prohomata, meaning rampart, which is an embankment surrounding a fort, thus making every effort and precaution to secure the city. Set the camp also against it, that is, make the temporary lodging place. The thought is, make preparations to remain there until you have conquered the city and set battering rams against it round about, or as in the margin, chief littles, meaning an instrument with which to blow or strike. Ram is a male sheep, which is used as a symbol of Yahweh's men, and they are to batter round about until the city is taken. The instrument which they batter with is a clear cutting and convincing Bible truth. For the city of Jerusalem is the Yahweh's church, namely the Seventh-day Adventist, the spiritual Israel of today. For the Yahweh himself organized this church by a prophet. And there is a great deal of difference between this church and the churches during the Reformation. From the Luther's time onward, Yahweh permitted his people to be voted out of the church by the majority in the times past, and they were compelled to start another movement until the next step they were to make, and so on. In this case, Yahweh is to deal with the entire body. Those who saw and cry for the abominations that are done in the church will be sealed by the man with the writer's ink on. Those who are determined to do evil, that is, do contrary unto the rules laid down by the Spirit of Yahweh through the testimonies for the church, will be destroyed by the five men with the slaughter weapons of Ezekiel 9. None can escape, for the city is besieged, fortified, and made sure. It is a fact that in every age where Yahweh demonstrated his truth and purpose in a clear line, after being rejected, that people suffered the vengeance of the all-powerful and great Yahweh. For instance, the antediluvian cities of Sodom, Egypt, Canaanites, Babylon, and ancient Jerusalem. Separation in principle. That's our next subtitle, page 129. Moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and this City, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and set thy face against it, and it shall be besieged. And thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel, Ezekiel 4:3. Take thou an iron pan and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, the church, a symbol of an impregnable separation between the two vessels. This does not mean that they do not see or speak to one another, but a separation is in principle, rule, or guide. And set thy face against it, as a general of the armies sets his face against another nation with intent to conquer. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. The sign is unto those who are marked or sealed, namely the 144,000, for they are Israel, the truth. Time of the spiritual hunger. That's our next subtitle on page 130. Moses said unto me, Son of Man, behold, I will break his staff of bread in Jerusalem. Now, he establishes Jerusalem as the Seventh-day Adventist Church earlier. And they shall eat bread by the weight and with terror, and they shall drink water by the measure and with astonishment. They think that they may want bread and water and be astonished one with another and consume away for their iniquity. Ezekiel 4:16-17. The 13th verse applies unto the time of the 390 years, Ezekiel 4:16-17, to the time of the 40 years, the beginning of the 16th verse shows that there is a break in the prophecy, for we read, Moreover, he said unto me, that is, besides, or furthermore, I will break the staff of bread in your roost. I will cut down or set it on the decree that they shall eat bread by the weight and with care, and drink water by the measure and with astonishment, that is sparingly, until their supply of the bread is exhausted and they become hungry, astonishment, that is, we would say that we have the truth or Yahweh's people, but we do not understand why thus, and so power is lacking and there is something wrong. For the 17th verse is the fulfillment of the prophecy contained in Ezekiel 4:16. For the Douay version seems to make it clearer from which Ezekiel 4:17 is there quoted, so that when bread and water fail, okay, it says, every man may fail against his brother. Okay. It says, and they may pine away in their iniquity. For the beginning of the verse and the Greek and Bulgarian are the same, with the exception that the word people is used instead of brother. For the Hebrew translation renders, in order that they may want bread and water and be confounded one with another and pine away for their iniquity, so that when bread and water fail, every man may fail. Actually, I'm reading this wrong. Every man may fall. I think I'm not, my glasses, I'm not seeing it right. Or may fail or fall. That is, in the time of the 40-year period, they will exhaust their supply of bread and water, spiritual, and become real hungry so that they may discover their mistake, Quoting Testimonies of Ministers, page 419. Beat the hell talking about that 40-year period from 1890 to 1930. A period when the Adventist Church rejected righteousness by faith of John the Wagner in 1888-1890. Okay. So it says, Yahweh requires certain things of his people. If they say, I will not give up my heart to do this thing, the Yahweh lets them go on in their supposed wise judgment without the heavenly wisdom until the scripture Isaiah 28:13 is fulfilled. You are not to say, I will follow the Yahshua's guidance up until a certain point that is in harmony with my judgment, and then hold fast to your own ideas, refusing to be molded after the Yahshua's similitude. Let the question be asked, is this the will of the Yahshua? Not, is this the opinion or judgment of the so-and-so? But the word of the Yahshua was unto them a precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backwards and be broken, and snared and taken, Isaiah 28:13. Testimonies of Ministers, pages 105-107. We are not to think, as did the Jews, that our own ideas and opinions are infallible, nor with the papers, that certain individuals are the sole guardian of the truth and knowledge, that men have no right to search the scriptures for themselves, but must accept the explanation given by the fathers of the church. Those who allow prejudice to bar the mind against the reception of the truth cannot receive the divine enlightenment. Yet, when a view of the scripture is presented, many do not ask, is it true in harmony with the Yahweh's word? But by whom is it advocated? And unless it comes through the very channel that pleases them, they do not accept it. So thoroughly satisfied are they with their own idea that they will not examine the scripture evidence for the desire to learn, but refuse to be interested merely because of their prejudices. For the Yahshua often works where we at least expect him. He surprises us by revealing his power through the instruments of his own choice, while he passes by the men unto whom we have looked as those through whom a light should come. For Yahweh desires us to receive the truth upon his own merit, because it is the truth. But because beware of rejecting that which is the truth. The great danger with our people has been that of the depending upon man and making flesh their arm. Those who have not been in the habit of searching the Bible for themselves are weighing evidence, have confidence in the leading men, and accept the decisions they make, and thus many will reject the very messages Yahweh sends unto his people if his leading brethren do not accept them. No one should claim that he has all the light there is for the Yahweh's people. The Yahweh will not tolerate this. He has said, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Even if all our leading men should refuse light and truth, that door will still remain open, for the Yahshua will raise up men who will give their people the message for this time. Suppose a brother held a view that differed from yours, and he should come to you proposing that you sit down with him and make an investigation of that point in the scripture. Should you rise up filled with the prejudice and condemn his idea while refusing to give him a candid hearing? For the only right way would be to sit down as the Christians and investigate the position presented in the light of the Yahweh's word, which will reveal truth and unmasked error. To ridicule his idea would not weaken his position in the least if it were false, or strengthen your position if it were true. If the pillars of our faith will not stand the test of the investigation, it is time that we knew. There must be no spirit of the Phariseeism cherished among us, though one may stubbornly dispute the direct application of the scripture quoted here. Certainly none would question the lesson taught in the publications, and yet claim to be in harmony with the movement. Well, V.T. Holliff is dead and gone, and all of his successors are dead and gone. Ben Roden and Willis Johnson, those two in that order, are antithetical Ishmael, Ben Roden, and antithetical Esau, Willis W. Johnson. He played several roles. He also played the role of King Saul, the first king of Israel. And he also had that, like I said, role of Esau, firstborn of Isaac, that inherited the birthright but despised it and traded it and got rid of it and then mourned for it, but he could never get it back. So we are on the verge of some momentous things, and that ends our study on Ezekiel 4. Okay, so our next study, we got about 12 minutes left on this hour. So our next study is number 6. Section 6 of the Shepherd Rod, and it's synopsis of Isaiah chapter 54 through 66, and it says this call for the Reformation as set forth here, and the direct result is a direct result of the study of the 13th chapter in the book of the Isaiah. Now this, we're studying now the chapters in the Bible from the different books of the Bible. When it comes to dealing with the Reformation, they are prophesying for the 12th parabolic hour. And at the time when the seventh seal is opened up, it starts the judgment of the living. And this Reformation actually started with Kermit, Texas, in 2002 at Kermit, with Willis Johnson at the helm, my pastor for 33 years. So the call for Reformation was first given to Willis Johnson, and I gave him the message of Reformation, and he rejected it. Kicked me out of the church because of it, and that's where we are today. We're still saying we got to have this Reformation. So it says here, this call for the Reformation as set forth here is the direct result of the study of the 13th chapter in the book of the Isaiah, as devised by the Seventh-day Adventist denomination and presented to the churches and the entire organization throughout the world These lessons were taught in the Sabbath School Department during January, February, and March of the year of 1929. Beginning with the 54th chapter of Isaiah, ended with the 66th chapter of the Isaiah. For we believe that the hand of Yahweh was leading, and that these particular lessons came at an appointed time by the divine direction, with the intention for the arousing of his people and the action from the lukewarm, rarely sin condition and spiritual feebleness. In Volume 3, page 492, we read the General Conference, which is the highest authority that Yahweh has upon the earth. It may have been the highest authority at the very inception, but we're going to find out that it's not anymore. So it says that the general compass spoken of here is not one man's opinion, but a general compass of the brethren assembled from all parts of the field, as described in the Gospel of Workers, page 489. But when in a general compass the judgment of the brethren assembled from all parts of the field is exercised, private and dependence and private judgment must not be stubbornly maintained, but surrendered. For this reason, Yahweh honored the General Conference and sent the lessons through that channel, with the intention of bringing forth a reformation in the entire denomination in one single quarter of the Sabbath School study. These 13 chapters of the Isaiah are one continuous letter written for the church. Though they have been in the Bible for many centuries, they were intended for us at this present time and stand as a direct epistle unto the church now. For the 54th chapter is the beginning of the letter, and it ends with the 66th. The following reasons are given for the believing thus. Isaiah 54, beginning of the letter to Yahweh of the company. Sing, O barren, that's the next subtitle, Isaiah 54. Beginning of the letter to Yahweh of the comfort. It says, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing, and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with the child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith Yeshua. This is Yeshua the Son that is in command of this talking, Isaiah 54:1. Chapter 4 of the Galatians says that the woman spoken of here is the barren, or she is as the barren, as she who travail not with the child. Desolate is this represented by Sarah, the wife of Abraham. For the other called the married wife is represented by Agar, the Egyptian woman that gave birth to Ishmael from Abraham. Sarah is desolate because she stepped aside and gave the husband unto Agar. Thus Agar is the married wife. Sarah was barren without the child, while the Agar had Ishmael. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that beareth not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Galatians 4:25. Says Agar represents the Old Testament. church are Jerusalem and Palestine. For this exile is the Mount Sinai in Arabia, and entrance unto Jerusalem, that's the house of Israel, which now is and is in the bondage with their children. So Agar is not of the house of Israel. She's having the answer to it. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Galatians 4:26 and verse 31. Thus Sarah, the free, is a symbol of Jerusalem, which is above, or the church of the New Testament. For the Ishmael represents the children of the Old Testament church. The Isaac, the children of the New Testament, the apostolic church. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of the promise, but as then he that was born after flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now, Galatians 4:28-29. As Abraham did cast out the bondwoman, Agar, and her son, Ishmael, just so Yahweh did cast out the Old Testament church, or Jerusalem, which now is. Galatians 4:30. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So the scripture makes the subject too plain to be misunderstood. So is the symbol of the apostolic church of the 12 apostles and their converts. And Agar, the Egyptian woman of the Jewish church, turning unto the 54th chapter of Isaiah, it will be noted that this chapter is addressed unto the barren, childless, desolate woman, Sarah, who is a symbol of the apostolic congregation of the Nazarene Creed. For the spirit of the prophecy commenting on this chapter says, the prophecy is for the gospel church at this time. We read in the Prophets and Kings, pages 374 and 375. Looking on still further through the ages, the prophet beheld the literal fulfillment of these glorious promises. He saw the bearers of the glad tidings of the salvation going to the ends of the earth. To every kindred and people, he heard the Yeshua's saying of the gospel church, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. And he heard the commission, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtain of thy habitation. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes, for thou shalt bear break forth on the right hand and on the left. And thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, for the Yahweh declared unto the prophet that he would send his witnesses into the nation. Unto Tarsus, Pearl, Arad, to Tubal and Avan, and to the isles of Paral, for the prophet heard the voice of Yahweh, calling his Seventh-day Adventist Church to her appointed work. But she won't do it, so he's going to call the House of David. It's the Everlasting Kingdom of Heaven here on earth, Daniel 2:44 and 45. Because thou shouldst sit on the throne of David, directing the way, that the way might be prepared for the ushering in of his everlasting kingdom. So the House of David has to prepare the way to usher in this everlasting. This brings in what does this hour contact? This is the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're on close now. This with a song.